Good morning. Welcome to Loxley Church. And if no one's told you that, I hope you've had a great day. And I wanted to continue our conversation. Go ahead, Miss Rachel. That we started last week about this idea of perception, about vision, about being able to see things. And oftentimes when dealing with church things, especially with kingdom things, we think that we have the vision, or sometimes we think we see the whole picture, and sometimes maybe not. Maybe our perception is a little bit off and it's a little bit of clarity. And the way that I would like to describe that is something that happened to me a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if you've ever done this before, but go ahead, Miss Rachel. Have you had to go do this guy right here? Yeah. So, like, I was having trouble. I would read a lot, and then I would have problems with my eyes refocusing on just normal things. And so, of course, Beth Ann, being an incredible wife like she is, I don't know if husbands, if your wives do this too, she began to offer her assistance of letting me know I need to go to the eye doctor. And she began to remind me that I hadn't been to the eye doctor since I was 19. Of course, the man inside of me, I don't know if you guys do this or not, he rose up. I don't need to go to no doctor. I'm fine. But then it kept on and it kept on. So finally, she made an appointment for me. So I went to this eye doctor. And Landon was with me. And Landon, he likes a little smack talk a little bit. Oh, you're so old. You got to get glasses. And I was like, shut up. And I sat in the chair, and I began to read the little thing, and I could read perfect. And I got to the 2020 line, and it was like perfect. And she was like, let's keep going. I was like, let's keep going. And I went down to the 2015, and then I got down to the 2010. And the lady looked at me. She's like, why are you here? I was like, I have no clue. My wife made me come. And then she's like, you don't need glasses. I was like, I know I don't need glasses. So the doctor comes in, and I'm like, what's going on? Because I'm having problems. I'm reading a lot, and then when I read, I have problems readjusting my vision. And he was like, well, you're just getting old. And at that point, Landon's in the corner. He's like, and I'm like, shut it. And they made me get readers. So if you see me wearing readers, you know why. And I really do blame this on one person in the church. And I know he won't mind me telling this. It's Woody Cotton. If you know Woody Cotton, you know that he's a reader. He's an avid reader. And Woody and I share a love for certain types of books, especially old westerns. And Woody is like my little drug dealer and brings me these books. And like 10 at a time, and then I'll bring them home, and Beth Ann's like, I'm going to kill Woody. And so I have a stack of them, and so ever since that conversation started about 2 years ago, I've just been reading a lot, and so I blame Woody on this. But guys, I want you to relish with me in this. Go ahead, Miss Rachel. It's this moment, as a husband, as a man, when I walk back in the house, and I didn't have glasses. I just had readers. And I walked in, and Beth Ann's like, well, how'd it go? And I was like, don't need glasses. And it was this moment of, like, championship until she saw the readers in my hand. She's like, obviously. And I was like, okay, you're right. You're right. But for the small moment, I don't need prescription glasses. I just need the little Dollar Tree brand. And so I'm feeling pretty good about myself. But last week, we started a conversation about this word celebrate. Go ahead, Ms. Rachel. This idea of what we wanted to look at over the last couple of weeks and seeing these things happen. And Lloyd kind of hit on this week. Last week, I asked you guys, I came to you guys with this opportunity. Go ahead, Ms. Rachel. This idea of wanting to fund this missions project. We had a list, a laundry list, and I kind of explained that last week, of some totals that were going to come out. And I prayed about it, and I felt like for our church and where we were right now, these were going to be the tangible things that we could accomplish. But what I want you to learn today in this small little lesson is this. Sometimes when we think and we shortchange God, he shows up and he surprises us in incredible ways. Because here's what ended up happening. You ready? Go ahead, Miss Rachel. Last week, just on Monday's total, you guys gave $6,078. And I was blown away. And I was like in my office. And I'm like, okay, Lord. And I'm crying. And I'm like, man, $6,800. I mean, that's incredible. So here's what happens. Last night, I've been in conversations with the regional pastor of the entire country of Honduras. She was a lady that taught my Sunday school when I was a little baby back in Tuscaloosa. I mean, this lady gave up everything in her life to go work in mission fields in Honduras. She's been there her whole life, my whole life. I remember Glenda. She was incredible. And Glenda would come in when I was in high school and in junior high, and she would have this presentation about all the stuff she was doing in Honduras. And that's how we kind of had these connections about what we wanted to do in Honduras. And she said, hey, I know you're working with Hope House, and I know that you've got some things that you're wanting to do with Angie, and that's great. But if your church has anything they want to do, here's a laundry list of all these churches all across the country that we need help with. And I read the list, and nothing really jumped out at me. I prayed, and I said, God, what am I supposed to do? And I got to the very last one, And it kind of stood out. I know, don't judge me. But we have these things in the South called skeeters. Do you have mosquitoes at your house too? Right? So there's this little place in Honduras called Mosquito Bay. And I was like, that's it. That's where we have to go because we all hate mosquitoes, right? And it's this island chain of 40 to 50 churches that don't have a bit of concrete on them. They're thatched churches. They're churches with wood and palm fronds for the roof. They are churches you can't get to by road. They're churches that only come by boat. And it's one of the poorest and worst parts of Honduras, and it's one of the worst parts of the country itself. You have 40 to 50 pastors all looking to supply school supplies for their kids, their personal kids. And so the regional director says, sometimes we just ask for offerings, and right now, and so I messaged her back. I said, how much would it cost for our church to fund school supplies for those kids? Now, this is where God comes in, and this is where everything marries, and it's incredible, and it's amazing. So when we talked about the opportunity for Hope House, Angie had a list, and that list came out to be $5,600 total. So we met that need. The two needs you saw were we're going to do school uniforms for the kids, and we're going to do some washing machines. On top of that, they had some vehicle things that needed some help with, and they had some medical expenses. Altogether, that came out to be $5,600. Left us a surplus of $400. So this lady messaged me back this morning, Ms. Glenda, and she says, hey, I did the numbers last night, and if you guys could raise $400, we could supply school supplies for this church. And I went, and I'm in my office this morning, and I was like, my God, because God saw fit in all of his infinite wisdom to meet a need we didn't even know was coming down the road, because that's what God does. Yes. And I look at that, and I'm like, God, you're incredible. You're amazing. Like, I just looked at Bethany and said, you can't script this. This is better than TV. Like, you cannot understand how infinite God is and how finite he is in the details. Like, he's in the middle of all of this. We could not have programmed this any better. So last week, we started on this conversation. Go ahead, Miss Rachel. We read from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Jesus tells his disciples, but first seek the kingdom of heaven, or seek the kingdom of God and all the righteousness, and everything's going to be added to you. Can I tell you that last week I walked in on Monday to a testimony that someone gave in the offering last week, and their husband walked into work, and the boss said, I need to talk to you, and pulled him to a side and said, hey, just out of the blue, here's a merit raise. Here's 2% more than what you were making yesterday. Now you get to make it today, and it's because you gave the offering. That's what God's talking about. This morning, Lloyd said a phrase that I thought was absolutely brilliant, because I hadn't talked to him about what I'm preaching about, but I'm talking about full life in God. Because the Bible tells us this. You ready? Go ahead. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says that there's a thief, and he comes to steal, and he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. Now pay attention. But I've come that you can have life, and that you can have it to the absolute fullest. And when Lloyd said that today, I was like, oh, we are on track to something incredible today. Because this is the verse that I want to center on this morning. This idea of what the kingdom of God looks like, and what does the kingdom of God look like when it's all in its fullness. The only way that I can describe it is this word. It's this idea. Sometimes we hear this word a lot. Go ahead, Mr. It's this word, upgrade. Now, sometimes we don't really understand the concept of that word until it really hits us between the eyes. For example, if you have ever flown in an airplane and you've bought the cheapest ticket and you've flown on that cheapest ticket, you can tell that sometimes it's a little compact. Oh, but how glorious is it when we get to the counter and they say, oh, well, we've given your ticket away, but we're going to upgrade you to business class or first class. And when that happens, all of a sudden things begin to change. If you've ever rented a vehicle and you go into that vehicle and you've gotten the small economy package, trying to be practical, and you get bumped up to like the most expensive, amazing Tesla in the world, you know what that feels like. If you've ever rented a hotel room or you've gone to Disney or anything else, and all of a sudden you get this incredible blessing, this upgrade that happens in your life, all of a sudden, life's looking a lot better. Today, I want to slow down just for a moment and talk to you about a gentleman rereading the Bible who got an upgrade in life, who was raised and who grew up a certain way, and then he met this man named Jesus, and it changed everything about him. It begins in Mark chapter 8. Go ahead, Miss Rachel. The Bible tells us this. And they came to Bethsaida, meaning the disciples and Jesus. And some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and he led him outside the village. And when he had spit on the man's eyes, he put his hands on him. And Jesus asked him, do you see anything? Now, I read this verse a lot, and I struggle with this passage because I've never been blind before. And I've never really saw Jesus face to face. And if I really needed something, I would go after it. But if Jesus spit on my face, I don't know what I would do. I'll be honest with you. I'd be like, I don't know about that, Jesus. But I want you to notice that last phrase at the bottom. Do you see anything? This morning, I want to talk to you about steps of believers. I want to talk to you about what it looks like when we come into the kingdom. Because sometimes you could be walking the same path for 20 years and not really get these three steps until you begin to think about it. But step one for this is this concept of believing. It's this idea that when we come into contact with Jesus, that we're interjected with Jesus, and Jesus asks us this question, do you see anything? And the question at hand for this morning is, as the kingdom of God, as we are surrounded by ourselves in the kingdom of God, what do you see? You see, I oftentimes think about this, and I think sometimes we miss it in that we are surrounded by the kingdom in every aspect of our life, and we just kind of sometimes dismiss it. Not because we're callous and not because we're not paying attention, but because sometimes we're just in a hurry. But the kingdom looks a lot like this. Go ahead, Miss Rachel. It looks a lot like this. It's the hustle and bustle of city life, especially right now if you live in Baldwin County in these last 2 weeks of the summer, and you have to get on Highway 59 to go anywhere. You know good and well you're not praying for those people. That's what I thought. The only prayer we pray, my little girl yesterday, we got behind someone from like Kentucky. And she was like, why are you even here? And then she's like, I wish you would just go home. And I'm like, 2 weeks. We got 2 weeks and then we're back to normal just for a little bit. Don't act like y'all don't do that, okay? But it's just, and then after they got rid of the toll bridge and now the Beach Express is now not a secret anymore, it's even worse. And that's the kingdom. What's the kingdom? It's our neighbors. Do you know your neighbors? This is an interesting fact. I didn't think about this till a couple of years ago. We were on staff at Loxley, maybe for a year, year and a half. We went to this Orange Conference, which is the curriculum company we use for the kids department. They put on this great conference in Hattiesburg. And the entire conference was about being a good neighbor, which I thought was dumb until I began to think about it. I don't even know my neighbor's names. I didn't at that moment. I had never introduced myself. We live in a subdivision with houses all around us. I had never been neighborly to any of them. I had not even thought about it until the hurricane hit, 2020. And our neighbors next door, her husband, worked at the Coast Guard station, and he went into work that Monday before the hurricane and was told, get on a plane, we're evacuating, we're going to Jacksonville. And what about my wife? What about the kids? They're on their own. And so because he worked at the Marine E-911 Center, they took all of their operation, they moved to Jacksonville. His family had to stay there. And our neighbor, the day after the hurricane hit, we began to clean up, you know, and I cleaned up their yard for them. And I asked this question, what are you guys eating? Because we have all this food that you know, we've lost power. And they had cereal. And I was like, come over, let's have dinner. And that moment of the kingdom began to think to me, I don't even know my neighbors. And we broke bread on our little back porch, and we had hamburgers, and we shared this meal. How many of us actually are good neighbors to our neighbors? That's the kingdom. That bottom left picture for you, we're about to get into one of the glorious seasons of the entire season called football. Praise God. It's almost here. And we'll have fun with our rivalries, right? You know, we'll have fun with that. But boy, sometimes that can kind of bleed over. But guess what? Those people that wear orange and blue, they're our neighbors too. Roll Tide, right? What about the bottom right corner? Kids. Last week, you guys came in the sanctuary, and you saw it all kind of dressed up with giant pizza slices and inflatables, and it was loud. I'm not going to lie. The older I get, I'm like, oh, this is crazy, and it looks like chaotic energy. If you were here Monday or Tuesday night, you saw it. They were everywhere, and there's, like, beach balls flying, and there's, like, loud music, and it's, like, crazy, and I'm like, wow, this is so out of my comfort zone. That's the kingdom. Can I tell you what happened? I was sitting right back there, last row, second night. Miss Santana's given an incredible sermon. She lands the plane, phenomenal altar call. She's in the middle of her invitation for the altar call. They've got the kids workers out here. Mr. Jared is sitting right here. And I watched this little three-year-old walk over to one of our paid volunteers, Miss Nancy. She was sitting right here. He walked up from where he was sitting with his family. And he walked up to her because she represents God.
And he reached up and he tugged her shoulder. And he took her by the hand. And she's not even given the altar call yet. And he walks her to right here. And he asked to pray. And I'm in the back and I'm done. Like, just mail it in. Like, I was a mess. Because that's what the kingdom looks like. It's not neat and orderly. It's not something that fits in a box. It is everything about the kingdom. That's what the kingdom looks like. Step one, believing. The story goes on. So Jesus spits in the dirt. He rubs it in the guy's eyes, right? Step two, here we go. You ready? It looks a lot like this. Jesus said, "Did you see anything?" And the man looks up and he says, "I see people. They look like trees and they're walking around." Step two. Step two is growing. Step one, we believe. Step two, we grow. We begin to learn how to see the right framework, the right way of seeing things. This man who had never seen before in his life, he began to see things but could not discern what those things looked like. He began to understand, I see something, but I'm not sure what I'm seeing yet. And what I want you to do and what I want you to question is that sometimes things appear or aren't always as they seem. Sometimes things show up and we don't really understand. Sometimes some things show up and we don't get it. And what does that look like for us? Well, it's pretty simple. How many of you watched the Olympic opening this week? You saw on Facebook this mocking scene of the Last Supper. And it's easy for us to take a look at that and get angry. It's easy for us to take a look at that and be ashamed and upset. But when we begin to understand the framework of the kingdom of God, it changes our perspective a little bit. You see, I watched as many ministers jumped online. I watched as many Christians jumped online, and they bashed this ceremony, and rightly so. I'm not saying that they should not be abashed by it. I agree with you. But I looked at it, and I thought, God, the same people that would mock you openly, that would make fun of such a serene and incredible spiritual moment, you died for them too. I don't know if you saw the news last night between Israel and Hamas. Hamas said an attack on a kid's soccer game. 12 kids died. And I watched, and I'm broken, because I look at that scene and I think to myself, God, you died for them too. You see, when we take a look at where we are in the world right now, don't get mad at me. It's an election year. If you've watched the news in the last week or 2 weeks, there's this polarization effect happening one way or the other. You're either red or you're blue. It's this dividing line. And I'm not saying who you should vote for, so take it easy. But maybe we would spend our entire life protesting and working against the very thing that someone else across the aisle would be doing, the same exact thing. And what I want you to understand is the kingdom transcends all that because he died for both of you. And that's what I need you to understand. It doesn't matter what race you were born into. It doesn't matter what gender. It doesn't matter what social income. None of that matters in the kingdom of God. It's uncomfortable. It's not easy. But that's the way God framed it. You want to see what Jesus says? Don't get mad at me. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5. It looks a lot like this. He says, "You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Oh, okay, that's easy. Right off the bat, Jesus says, by the way, love your enemies and pray for those who are doing you harm. Verse 45. "That you may be children of your Father in heaven, he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that?" Praise God to them. "And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that?" 48. "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Now, that word perfect is a trap. So I want to slow down just for a moment. Doesn't mean you have to be 100% to 100% on the test. Doesn't mean that we get it all right all the time. That word perfect biblically means complete, whole. Working towards something. Think of a progress bar. That's his idea. Strive to be complete as your heavenly Father is complete. The question today is, how do we love? It's easy to love the ones that love us back. Simple, easy. How do we love our enemy? Not so easy. How do we love one that seems to be so diametrically opposed to our own lifestyle? Not easy at all. How do we love the one that makes our life absolute terror? Not easy. Jesus never said it was going to be easy. But think about this concept in the middle, in the very last night of Jesus' life. He's breaking bread. He's making this covenant. He washes their feet, knowing that the guy at the end of the table is going to betray him. Knowing that the guy at the end of the table has already planned against him. Does Jesus excommunicate him? No. Jesus washes his feet and serves him. This isn't an easy message, and it makes you very uncomfortable, but that's kingdom living. Don't get mad at me. Take it up with the guy that wrote it. Step three, it's pretty simple. It looks a lot like this. Go ahead, Miss Rachel. The Bible says in verse 25 of Mark chapter 8, once more Jesus puts his hands on the man's eyes, and then his eyes were opened, his sight's restored, and he sees everything clearly. I like this verse out of all the other verses. The spitting thing kind of throws me off a little bit, but this one I like because I want you to pay attention to something, something I think sometimes we miss. Verse 25, it took Jesus twice to get him right, not once. Oftentimes we read of Jesus and he'll walk in and take somebody by the hand and boom, they're healed. Jesus walks in to John and calls out to a dead guy who's been dead for 3 days. One time, boom, he's it. But this guy, twice. And it gives me hope as a Christian. Because in this step three, this idea of becoming, it's ongoing action. The word we used to use was sanctification. It's this concept that I'm not where I am or should be, but I'm on my way to get there. You see, sometimes in church, don't get mad at me, sometimes in church we think that once we come to the altar and once we ask God for salvation, that's it. Once we sign on the dotted line and we become a member of Loxley Church, boom, I'm in heaven, I'm done. That ain't how it works. Wish it was, because that'd be real easy. But I think what this story teaches us is this. Sometimes it takes a little time to develop. Sometimes it takes us a little while to get those rough edges smooth. Maybe you find yourself here today and you struggle with something, and that's why Satan begins to attack you on that front. If you were really saved, if you were really paying attention, if you were really participating in God's kingdom, you wouldn't be doing these things. And I want you to understand that the Lord of all heaven and earth, the one that was there at creation, prayed for this man twice. Why? Because sometimes it takes a little time to develop. Sometimes it doesn't happen instantaneously. And my friend, if you're in the room and there's something you're struggling with, can I be the first one to tell you, I'm not the one that's going to throw a stone at you. If you have to ride the altar all the way to glory, do it. Just make it. Too many times we think, oh, if you're not polished and you're not cleaned up, and no. You forget what journey you were on. You forget how difficult those struggles are in life. We get upset with young adults when they don't get it right. But I want you to understand something. It takes a little while to develop. It's not something that just happens instantaneously. I've seen instantaneous. I've watched as men who are hardened and alcoholic come to the altar and God just changes them automatically, and praise God for that. But I've seen more journey and sanctification than I've ever seen instantaneous in my life. And I just stopped by this morning to help you understand that maybe you're struggling in this concept of kingdom of God. You're trying to do good. You're trying to be at your very best. And that doesn't mean that this justifies your behavior, but what it does mean is this, is that you are on your way to development. Don't sit back in your sin and say, well, Pastor Kevin said I can do that. No, that's not what I said. My answer is this. You're in a process of development. That doesn't mean that you can just stay still in it. You've got to keep going forward. The Bible puts it this way. Go ahead. In Titus chapter 2, Paul writes this, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. This morning is all about you and the evaluation of your life. Believing and becoming. And we're all on the journey. But I want to circle back to this idea. where we first started. It's this concept. Go ahead. Upgrade. John 10:10 tells us that God, Jesus, came into this world so that you may have life and have it to the absolute fullest. And you're like, well, what does that mean for me this morning? Pretty simple. Sometimes we decide to sit and we conform to sin and we conform to our habits rather than choosing this path. The only way that I can describe that is this. You ready? How many of us had this phone all those many years ago? Do you remember this phone? This was the greatest phone ever, by the way. I showed this to the teenagers Wednesday night, and they laughed at me like, pfft. I was like, they didn't have no internet on that phone. And if you did, you were paying like crazy money for internet. Didn't have no text messaging. And if you did, you had to push that little 2 button like 3 times just to get a C to come up. And then you had to wait for it to stop blinking so you can get to the next one. You couldn't send no text. You had to call people. This phone only had 2 games on it. Do you remember the games? It was like a little worm game and like a little really bad blackjack solitaire game. That was it. The greatest phone. You could run this phone over with a tank and it'd be fine. It was the greatest phone ever. I liked this phone too because you could turn it off at night and it would still work. You could set an alarm. Do you remember that? You could set an alarm on the phone, turn it off, and then it would wake itself up. Incredible. If you were given this phone today, how would we react? We'd laugh. It's nostalgic. It's good. But in reality, we're looking for something a little more like this. We need that. We've become accustomed to it. It's the iPhone, whatever, 15 Pro with the really nice cameras, and it's got a computer chip in it that's faster than any computer we ever had we were growing up. It doesn't have to do dial-up internet anymore. It's incredible. It's amazing. What about this, my child of the 80s? You ready? Do you remember this game? Did you play this game a lot? Go ahead, Miss Rachel. Do you remember this game? Oh, how many hours did you waste playing this game? Don't lie. You in church. It's fine. It's okay. When the Atari first became available to have at your house, oh, this game was it. My brother and I would spend hours playing this. It was the dumbest game ever. All it was the bouncy thing and 2 little slides that went up, and it was the greatest game. We would get in fights over who won. It was great. But now, this week, we have this game come out. Go ahead, Miss Rachel. Look at the reality of it. NCAA 25, 10 years in the making, one of the greatest football franchises ever. The graphics and the change of it, the amazing nature of it, makes it just incredible to look at. You see, the thing about this, can we go back one? Okay, there we go. The thing about this is it's nostalgic, and Cody, if you want to come play, it's something that we are comfortable with. It's something that we like. Easy to master, not very challenging. But if any of us were dropped into this world, go ahead to the next one, and we're dropped here, a lot of us in the room would be like, I have no clue. And that's how we are spiritually. Sometimes in the kingdom of God, we come to that becoming stage. We come to that place where God calls us to change and to step out a little bit. God calls us to do some things that are unconventional. And when we do those things, we become very uncomfortable, don't we? What if God's calling you to pray and to befriend, at least attempt to, the one person at your workplace that everyone else avoids? We all have them. If you don't know who that person is in your office, you might be it. What if God's calling you to step out and to share the gospel with that family member that you've been sitting on for so long and you're so scared that if I mention something, they're just going to push me away or they're going to slam the door? What if God calls you to walk on water for someone? This week has taught me that when we begin to examine our attempt at performing and trying to figure out what God wants for, like, this church, for example. Last week, I felt like a tangible option, and you guys stepped up and above because God blessed you for that, and we're able to meet not only all of her needs, but then other needs as well. Why? Because God calls us into the uncomfortable sometimes. This is the whole point of today's sermon. It's a lot like this. If we looked at the 2 upgrades, will both get you to heaven? Yes. Both phones will make a phone call. Both games will entertain. But kingdom living is a lot like this. Go ahead. It looks a lot like this. Ansel Adams always used to take his photos in 2 photos. The first in black and white, the second in color. Why? Well, because it helps us to understand the contrast between the two types of life. Both are incredible. Both hold beauty. But if I had to choose which one I wanted to look at, I would rather look at the colored picture before the black and white picture. I want to see the detail of it. Makes me feel like I'm there. It's a lot like art. Oftentimes when we look at art, go ahead, we love the colorful aspects of art. Whereas sometimes when we look at art and it's black and white, we lack the depth and the perception therein. It's a lot like this. How many of you remember black and white TV? I remember the black and white TV. I'm not old enough to remember black and white TV. We had a black and white TV, but I wasn't there. Is there anyone in the room that your family purchased the color TV and everything was still black and white until The Wizard of Oz came on TV for the first time? Do you remember that moment? If you don't know what we're talking about, color TVs were sold, but there was very few color programming. And so on a Sunday night, The Wizard of Oz was being shown for the first time on broadcast TV. And everyone who had a black and white TV or a color TV, the program began in black and white. And if you've got the DVD, you understand what I'm talking about. But there's this moment where it goes from being black and white, and all of a sudden the color gets turned on. And it's just this incredible moment. Now, go back to that time when you've seen things in color your whole life, but on TV, this magic box that tells us everything we need to know is all black and white. And then all of a sudden, it goes from being the normal to being full of color, full of life. That is kingdom living. And there are people who walk the kingdom and walk the road all the while and miss it. Not because they're prejudiced or because they're angry, not because they're sinful, but just sometimes we're just so busy. And my challenge for you this week is this. I want to end on this thought. Go ahead. My last one. It's all up to you. One of the prayers that I asked the council to pray and the staff to pray all these many weeks ago was this one prayer: God, show us the way. It's a prayer that I pray every morning. God, help me not to miss it. Help me to see your kingdom, not my kingdom. Help me to know what I'm supposed to do and when I'm supposed to do it. Don't let me walk past someone who really needs some help. Don't let me go by someone because of my busyness and my agenda and my schedule that I miss what I'm supposed to do today. And my prayer for you is this, that we would begin to look at the world through these eyes. And when you see the world through those eyes, the kingdom looks a lot different. The world looks a lot different. Yeah, we got an election year. Yes, you should vote. Yes, you should pray. All those things, all those are important. But when we dehumanize someone and we make them other and we make them a threat and we make them our enemy, we've missed it. You may say, well, those people don't believe that I believe. You don't get to choose that. He does, not us. The person at work that makes our life miserable, see them the way God sees them, not the way you want to see them. The person in your family that you know would die and bust hell wide open, don't look at them with pity, knowing that they're sinful. No, look at them the way God would look at them. Maybe that's your approach. Maybe you're the only one that can and will. This isn't easy living, because oftentimes when we look in our own kingdom, it's pragmatic and it's rational. It makes sense. It's something that we can control. But God's kingdom isn't something that we control. It's just something we get to participate in. So if you would, let's all stand. If you bow your heads with me. This is my final prayer for you today. This isn't one of those popular messages. It's not a happy message. It's not an easy one. But it isn't necessary. As we move forward in this 2024, here's my prayer for you and your family. That in this closing prayer right now, God begins to show you just a glimmer of color, of where he wants you to act, what he needs you to do, who he needs you to reach out to, send a text, send a card, and call him on the phone, whatever it may be. Who you need to forgive? Who do you need to go to and ask for forgiveness? Whatever it may be, I'm praying that God begins to show you the way. And I'm praying that you'll have enough courage to take the step in that direction. Let us pray. Father, I thank you and I praise you for this morning. And for your sweet spirit that's in the room. There's a lot of us in here, God, it feels tense. Because this isn't a message that's easy to swallow and digest. It's definitely not easy to preach. But God, it is a message for kingdom living. That in our life, sometimes we pass by the things that are so necessary for our day-to-day activity in the kingdom, God. I pray right now that the Holy Spirit begin to reveal into us the areas in which you need us to work this week. I pray, God, that you would show us a face or a name of someone we need to reach out to this week. Someone we try to reconcile with. Someone that's lonely, depressed, and that needs to see your light. God, help us to be vessels to do all of those things. God, I pray that you would send someone our way to help meet needs. That you would stretch us and use us and grow us. That you would begin to feed into our life and our spirituality in such a way that we begin to affect all the other ones around us, oh God. Help us not just to be small spectators in your kingdom, God, but help us to be full participators in your kingdom. Help us to make heaven crowded and overpopulated with all the people in our life. God, let it be a message that we can't contain. That even by our very actions, even unintentionally, people will see you through us. Because that's what it takes to make it in your kingdom. Help us to begin to think in your vision. Help us to see people the way that you see people, not the way that we want to see them. And God, forgive us if we've ever come into contact with someone that we have judged as other. Help us to take a step back and not be so quick to judge. Let us walk righteous before you. Now, God, for everyone in the room, I pray that you would help us this week. That you would give us health in our bodies and our minds. Again, we pray for Pastor Jason. That even right now, you would help him to find relief. That you restore sight. And God, I pray for all of us in our workplaces, in our families, in our homes. You would give us peace and strength. God, we thank you and praise you for all that you've done today. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Hi, we're so glad you joined us at Loxley Church today. Our goal and our prayer is that every person uniquely encounter God, and we want to hear about yours. Scan the QR, and that will take you to an online connect card. Leave a comment and tell us how you encountered God today. If you have a prayer request, we want to agree and believe with you for whatever you need God to do in your life. Let's close in prayer today. Heavenly Father, we love you. We adore you. We thank you for the privilege of coming into your presence. We thank you that we've been able to worship and sing songs of praise and that your word has gone forth in power. We pray that it would take root deep down in every person's life. I pray that this week that they would find you real to them, that you would reveal yourself to them in a special way. If there needs salvation, we pray that salvation go forth. If there needs to be healing, we pray that healing would go forth. Restoration in families. God, we love you. We thank you. We give you the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. We would love to see you in person, but if not, join us online next week.